I'm excited about what's going to take place as a result of us talking about and sharing witnessing to our friends that we care for. 1 John 1:9, Brother Cal's been preaching about it all this morning, about confessing our sins. It says, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Isn't that an amazing statement? And that's what we need to do before we start sharing our faith. We need to have not any unconfessed sin in our life. You remember the milkshake illustration? When you Chick-fil-A milkshakes, peach milkshakes, I love them. But when a peach, part of a peach gets in the straw, the stuff just won't come through. It stops it up. And this is what happens when we have unconfessed sin in our lives. We need to get rid of it where the Holy Spirit can work through our lives. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says this, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We call this spiritual breathing. We get rid of our sins. We confess our sins in chapter 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to come in and fill us with Himself. The Greek translation of this Ephesians 5:18, it says, be being continually filled. Be benually continually filled. He wants us to have the Holy Spirit just working in our lives and hearts continuously. Oh, thanks, Cal. You got all of them? Good. I think about part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. Isn't that something? I just think that's the most amazing thing that we have. So when we witness, we have the Holy Spirit speaking through us and giving us thoughts what He wants us to say to the people. So we call this spiritual breathing. When we ask the Holy Spirit to forgive us of our sins, 1 John 1:9, and then we ask the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts. So when we ask the Holy Spirit to forgive us of our sins, we are exhaling. We're getting rid of our sins. And then when we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, we are taking the Holy Spirit into us, filling us up again, where we can, the Holy Spirit will work through us when we are sharing. So many times when we are sharing, we're not sure what we need to say, but the Holy Spirit works through us, telling us what you need to say this, and Amen. You need to talk to this guy today. Amen. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. It's so important in our witness. And I'd like to share a story with you. My wife, Gloria, had a brother named Ted. He lived in Henderson, Kentucky. He was 75 years old. And my wife was talking to her. This happened about a year and a half ago. And the subject came up about believing in the Lord. And they got into a neat conversation, and it one thing led to another. The Holy Spirit was working through Gloria, my wife, talking to her brother Ted. And then they drove up to Henderson, Kentucky, and visited with him and talked to him. Long story, she led her brother, 75-year-old brother, to the Lord about a year and a half ago. And then they went back and had several Bible studies with him. Only the Holy Spirit could do that, create a conversation. And the reason I'm sharing this story with you, so many times I've heard a lot of people say it is very difficult to talk to your kin folks about the Lord. We just do not feel comfortable talking with our kin folks. It's hard to get a conversation going about the Lord with our kin folks. But she led her 75-year-old brother to the Lord. And then in the process, I called Cal when they were going to Kentucky, and I said, "You need to pray for us, for Gloria." And he said, "Oh, we're in the middle of a prayer meeting now, I believe." And you stopped what you were doing and prayed for Gloria. I remember that. But anyway, if you have kin folks and you're concerned about them, if they're not believers, we need to be concerned. But it works, guys. The Holy Spirit will work. And if you depend on the Lord, you can talk to your family members about the Lord. And it really works. It really does. And he passed away. Her brother passed away about 6 months after this took place. So just think what took place as a result of her being obedient to the Lord. Did everybody get one of the little booklets, four-law booklets? I want us to go over the little four-law booklets. We have a bunch here. Does everyone have one? I want us to just go through it and read it. This little booklet, it has about 14 Bible verses in it. It has a suggested prayer that people can pray and ask Jesus to come into their hearts. It gives you instructions what to do after you invite Jesus into your heart. And this little booklet was written in 1971. It first 1951. It started in 1951, and it's been all over the world. It's been used all over the world. If you don't have a little tool to help you share, I would really recommend you using this. It has the scripture verses in it. That's what does it. God's word speaks to people's hearts as we go through it. Did everyone have one? Let's just go through it and read it and see what it says. The way I started to get to talk to people about it, I say, "Have you ever heard of the four spiritual laws?" "No, I sure haven't. I haven't." "Well, I'd like to share something. It's about a good friend of mine." And then here you go. And then you could just read it to them. When you read this information, the booklet to them, take your finger and point to what we're reading, where you're reading, because you want to be sure that they're keeping up with you. Or a pen. I have to have a pen in my pocket all the time. It's just something about it. I don't not dress unless I have a pen. And you can take your pen and just point to where you're reading, and that lets you know that they're keeping up with you, what you're reading, and they're not out looking at a bird or something. But anyway, here we go. "Just as there's physical laws that govern the physical universe, so there are spiritual laws that govern your relationship with God. Law one says God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life." It opens up with a special message there. God's love. God so loved the world that He gave His only one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have a eternal life. John 3:16. I'm sure you know that. God's plan. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly, that it might be full and meaningful. Why is it most people are not experiencing this abundant life? Because law 2 says that man is sinful and separated from God. Therefore, he cannot know and experience God's love and plan for his life. Man is sinful. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Man was created to have fellowship with God, but because of his own stubborn self-will, he chose to go his own independent way, and fellowship with God was broken. This self-will, characterized by an attitude of active rebellion or passive indifference, is an evidence of what the Bible calls sin. Man is separated. The wages of sin is death, spiritual separation from God, Romans 6:23. This diagram illustrates that God is holy and man is sinful. A great gulf separates the two. The errors illustrate that man is continually trying to reach God and the abundant life through his own efforts, such as a good life, philosophy, or religion, but invariably fails. The third law explains the only way to bridge this gulf. So this illustration here, man is always reaching up, trying to get to God through his own efforts. Law 3 said Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sin. Through him, you can know and experience God's love and plan for your life. He died in our place. God showed his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. He rose from the dead. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500, 1 Corinthians 15. He is the only way to God. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this same diagram, it shows Jesus on the cross there, and God is coming down, reaching man. It was his, how he did to reach man on the cross. The diagram illustrates that God has bridged the gulf that separates us from him by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our place to pay the penalty for our sin. It's not enough just to know these things, but we must, law 4 says, we must individually receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Then we can know and experience God's love and plan for our life. We must receive Christ. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, John 1:12. We receive Christ through faith, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. When we receive Christ, we experience a new birth. This is God's word, guys, and this communicates to people. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, I believe it is, he says, my word will always do what it's supposed to do. It does not come back void. So when we are sharing this little booklet with somebody that's not a believer, it's God's word that does the work, and the Holy Spirit. And it communicates to people, because Isaiah says his word never fails, and it will do what it's supposed to do. And that's what's taking place when we share this little booklet. We're sharing God's word. I can't change anybody's hearts. Not any of us can. But it's God's Word through the Holy Spirit. And when we have the opportunity to share this little booklet with someone, it does the work because it's God's Word that's doing it. And it communicates. And your brother or sisters or whatever, whoever you're sharing with, it communicates to their hearts. And that changes lives when God's Word works. We receive Christ through personal invitation. This is Christ speaking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. Revelation 3:20. Receiving Christ involves turning to God from self, repentance, and trusting Christ to come into our lives and forgive our sins and make us what he wants us to be. Just to agree intellectually that Jesus Christ is God's Son and that he died on the cross for our sins is not enough, nor is it enough to have an emotional experience. We receive Jesus Christ by faith. It's an act of the will. Now, these two circles represent two kinds of life. The circle on the left, it has S representing self. It's on the throne of that life. It's sitting up in the chair on the throne. Christ, the cross, is on the outside of that life. And those little dots represent the different interests of life. And you can tell it's all mixed up. It doesn't have any purpose. There's no direction. The circle on the right, it has Christ sitting on the throne. Self has been dethroned. And then the little dots represent different interests of our lives, and it has a place and meaningful. Which circle represents your life right now? And you see this, and they look at it, and they see their life. If it's all mixed up and it has not invited Christ in, they say, well, the circle on the left. Which circle would you like to have to represent your life? Well, the circle on the right, we'd hope they would say. The following explain how you can receive Christ. You can receive Christ right now by faith through prayer. Prayer is talking with God. God knows your heart, is not so concerned with your words as he is with the attitude of your heart. The following is a suggested prayer. Again, God knows your heart. Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Take control of the throne of my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be. You can't Mickey Mouse God. You've got to be sincere. And if you're sincere and pray this prayer, Christ comes into your heart and you're a brand new person starting all over. God's Word changes lives, guys. And that's what we want to do, is put His Word out to a person who doesn't know the Lord. And it works. His Word says it always does what He says it'll do. I could start preaching. Does this prayer express the desire of your heart? If it does, I invite you to pray this prayer right now, and Christ will come into your life as he promised. How to know that Christ is in your life? Did you receive Christ in your life according to his promise in Revelation 3:20? Where is Christ right now in relation to you? Christ said he would come into your life. Would he mislead you? On what authority do you know God has answered your prayer? The trustworthiness of God himself and his word. The Bible promises eternal life to all who receive Christ. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:11 through 13. Thank God often that Christ is in your life and he will never leave you. Hebrews 13:5. You can know on the basis of his promise that Christ lives in you and that you have eternal life from the very moment you prayed the prayer you invited him in. He will not deceive you. An important reminder, do not depend on your feelings. The promise of God's Word, the Bible, not our feelings, is our authority. The Christian lives by faith, trust, and in trustworthiness of God Himself and His Word. This train diagram illustrates the relationship among fact, God and His Word, faith and a trust in God and His Word, and feeling, the result of our faith and obedience. The train will run with or without the caboose. However, it would be useless to attempt to pull the train by the caboose. In the same way as Christians, we do not depend on our feelings or emotions, but the way we place our trust in the trustworthiness of God and the promise of His Word. Sometimes we get up in the morning and we do feel like we just had a hit 10 foul balls. And we don't feel it. We don't feel something. We don't have to rely on how we feel. We rely on God's Word. We put our faith, the coal car, we put the coal in the engine on the train, and it goes down the track. But you can't depend on your feelings to get the train going down the track. We have to put our faith in God's Word. And that's what the little train illustration is. Now that you've received Christ, the moment you receive Christ by faith as an act of the will, many things happen. Christ came into your life. Your sins were forgiven. You became a child of God. You received eternal life. You began the great adventure for which God created you. Can you think of anything more wonderful could happen than receiving Christ? Would you like to thank God in prayer right now for what He has done for you? By thanking God, you demonstrate your faith. To enjoy the new life, you need to, suggested for Christian growth, spiritual growth results in trust in Jesus Christ. The righteous shall live by faith. A life of faith will enable you to trust God increasingly with every detail of your life. And here's some things that for growth. Go to God in prayer daily. Read God's Word daily. Begin with the Gospel of John. Obey God moment by moment. Witness for Christ by your life and words. Trust God every detail of your life. Holy Spirit, allow Him to control and empower you daily in witness. Fellowship in a good church. God's Word instructs us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Several logs burn brightly together, but put one of the logs aside in a cold hearth and the fire goes out. So it is with your relationship with other Christians. If you do not belong to a church, do not wait to be invited. Take the initiative. Call the pastor of a nearby church where Christ is honored and His Word is preached. Start this week and make plans to attend regularly. And if people go through and are sincere and read this little booklet, God's Word, their lives will be changed. This little booklet is a track. If you are using a track that's different than this and it's working, don't quit. But if you do not have one to help you, I would highly recommend this little booklet. It has everything in it that does everything. So if you walk up to somebody and would like to want to witness to them And they don't have time. They've got to go do something else. 493 excuses will come up when you start to share. The phone will ring, or the dog will bark, or the cat will get out, or something take place to stop your conversation. Leave the little booklet with the people. Say, I like for you to read this, and I'll check with you tomorrow or the next day and see what you think about it. And then you call them back and go through it and ask, how can you answer any questions that they might have in doing it. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to sit down with somebody. Everybody's so busy now. I'm scheduled to take a bath next Thursday at 3:30. So as everybody's schedule is just about the same. But they will not give you the time to read this little fellow through, leave it with them and tell them that you'll check back with them and get back with them. Again, there's 14 verses, about 14 Bible verses in here, and if they read it, God's Word's going to do something to their little hearts. If the Holy Spirit is involved in this, the Holy Spirit is so important in our witnessing. It's just paramount. It's just so special. When we took this training, we got so excited. We would stop. We'd be driving down the road and somebody had a flat tire, we'd stop and share the full law with them. I didn't help them change a tire, but I would. But anyway, it's this little fellow works, guys. It really works. Yeah.
And months later, they'd have a crisis, and God's Word would reappear, and they'd read it, and this has happened, and they would call. I go through a drive-in, and I'll say, hey, I'd love for you to find this friend and have a track with them, and then tell them, I'm coming back tomorrow. And you can leave it, because the Word of God does not return void.
No. Isaiah 55 says it's guys in... I'm getting way ahead of myself. Revelation chapter 20, it says, if our names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we go to hell. That doesn't sound good, but that's what the Bible says. We have, in Montgomery County, there's about 244,000 people in Montgomery County. 85%, they say, do not attend church in Tennessee. 85% of the people in Tennessee do not attend church. That leaves about 208,000 people in Montgomery County that are not in church today. 208,000, if 85% is correct. So we have a mission field here. I'm getting way ahead of myself. That's what happens to me every time. But anyway, the four spiritual laws, we can get as many as you need. If you just give them away, it's really is a great way. And of what we're doing, the two or three times we meet, if just one person becomes a believer, just think what taken place. We keep somebody from going to hell. That's big, I think. It might be our brothers or sisters or next door neighbor or whoever. But if only one person, and I would trust that each of us would feel the burden to share God's word with people as a way of life. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he said, goodness, look at all these people out here. He said, the fields are just white with harvest, but said the laborers are very few. Chapter 11 of Luke. So there may not be many people sharing our faith, witnessing. And just think what we're doing, guys. Again, Revelation 20 says, if our name is not in the Lamb's book of life, we go to hell. Three main things in witnessing prayer. Number one, Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't go out and do anything until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You wait till the Holy Spirit's in your life. And in God's Word, Isaiah chapter 55, God's Word, the Bible says, my word will not return void. And when we give it out, and if nobody listens to you and you just give them a tract like you talk about, you've had a good witnessing experience because you left God's word. And you can't leave anything any better. It's amazing. So if we could just become burdened for the 208,000 people in Montgomery County that's probably not in church. 85% of Tennesseans do not attend church. So that's where that number comes from. But there's a lot of lost people out there. And you know our culture, what's going on in our culture now. It's unreal what's going on in our culture now. Unreal. The very last instructions that Jesus left right before he ascended into heaven, Matthew chapter 20, he says, guys, I'm fixing to leave you. I got to go up to heaven. I got to go back up where I came from. I want you to go out and tell everybody about me and what's taking place, what you've seen me do. The very last thing he shared. You hear a lot of people talk about when somebody passes away, the very last thing they say is really important. You just remember it. And this is what Jesus said. Guys, don't forget what I've done. Tell everybody about it. Make disciples out of them. Get them in. I want to be with them. When they pass away. What we're doing is sharing Jesus with the people. And that is the greatest love story ever has been told, ever recorded. How much Jesus loves us is the most amazing thing I can't even, my little mind won't even go there. You know what happened to him? They beat him like a pup, nailed him on a cross. When I get a shot, it hurts. I don't like to get shots at all. It's just, I never did. I used to faint when I would get a shot, but I don't do it now as much. But anyway, they nailed him to a cross. They in his hands and feet. And before they put him on the cross, they flogged him. And before they arrested him, he said this to them. He said, "Guys," he said, "I could call down 12 legions of angels and wipe you dudes off the face of the earth. But said, I love all you folks here and me enough. I'm going to go through this and fulfill Scripture. I'm going to take care of Dwight's sins." Goodness. My little mind really, just think about that. Isn't that something? He loved John 3:16. He said, "I love the world, the whole world, enough I'm going to do this to fulfill Scripture because of my love that I have for all my buddies out here." It's the greatest love story ever told. It really is. And that's what we're doing. We're telling these people that do not know about the Lord how much He loves them. Again, you'll never hear another story that'll cap it in your life. It's really, really something. And he could have stopped it again. But I love, he said, "I'm going to go and pay the penalty to old Dwight up there. He's sure a mess, and I want to take care of him." And he does, you put your name in it too. He put your name there. It's really, 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 really something. I'd like for you to make your prayer list of people that are not believers as far as you know. Put it in your pocketbook or a mirror on the cabinet in the bathroom or something where you'll see these names regularly. And just start praying, "Lord, give me an opportunity to just to tell them about how much Jesus loves them. You open up a door for me." And you start praying. Make your list. Howard Hendricks was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary in Dallas, Texas. A godly person. He prayed for his daddy 40 years. And his daddy became a believer right before he passed away. It might not happen today or tomorrow or whenever we start praying. But start praying. Praying for the people that's on your list. Make your list. Write their name down. Something about writing it down will help you to remember it. Start praying that the Holy Spirit would work out a way for you to be together and you could share this great message of Jesus' love. Gloria, I had a friend here in Clarksville. Excuse me. Her friend used to live in New York. I might have told this story the other day. I'm not sure. But anyway, they was going to move to Clarksville. They did. They moved to Clarksville. This was 30 years ago. 30 years ago. She shared with them, shared with her friend in New York about becoming a believer. They moved to Tennessee. About a year ago, she gets a call from a friend in New York and said, "Thank you for sharing with me. I'm in church now. I became a believer and I'm going every day." 30 years. Mama, so your prayer list is so important. And it's so important we share as we part of our life. Just let it become part of our life. We talk about the weather, and we talk about Tennessee beating the guys 69-3 and all those things. And this is the most important thing. It can take place. People keep them out of hell. They stay there forever. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible thought. This next week, I'd like for each of us to witness to somebody, either with a little booklet or use your testimony. We're going to talk about the testimony sheet just in a minute. This next week, just share with somebody. And then next week we'll come. I'd like for you to share with us what took place. This is exciting. When we went through this training, we came back and we was so excited. We went up to this house, knocked on the door, and asked, could we share the four spiritual laws with them? She said, I was praying this morning for somebody to come by and talk to me. And I said, you got to be kidding. I couldn't believe what was taking place. But it happens when the Spirit is involved in this work of reaching people. It works on both ends of it. They're already working with this person we knocked on the door. But it works, guys. We don't know who's just waiting for somebody to talk to them. We just don't know. Maybe there's, we went around the room here, everybody's in some kind of a hurt or knows somebody that's hurting, some kind of a difficult thing. It's a lot going on in everybody's lives, or you know somebody that's going through some difficult thing. And just a word, the little four-law booklet with God's Word, it just does, you can't imagine what it does. And just, this was Jesus' last instructions before he went back to heaven. Guys, he's talking to his disciples, I want you guys to get my word out and tell everybody you can. That's what he wants us to do. What he wants us to do. So try to talk to somebody this next week, and then we'll share and see what happens. Make your prayer list. Start praying for him. Use your little four-law booklet. And then the testimony sheet. Cal and I have talked about this several times. Your story would really communicate to somebody, because you tell them what happened to you. They can't throw rocks at you because it's your story. I used to do, you know. But I don't know anymore, because I invited Jesus to come into my heart and he changed my life. I bet you'd like to do that, wouldn't you? Just share your story with whomever you're talking with. But this little guide to help you write your testimony, make it your testimony within 3 minutes. You don't have a lot of time, but you a short testimony. Before I received Christ, I lived and thought this way. How I received Christ, I was at a meeting and the preacher He invited me to come forward, and I did, and Jesus came into my heart. My life was transformed, or how it took place. You might have gone to church all your life, and it didn't. Your life might not have changed much. Your outside activities. Just write down, make it simple. Don't use big, long, preachy words. People don't know what you're talking about. But just use simple little messages. Go through this. Work on this. And it would be better, almost better than this, a little before law book, because it's your story and your life has really been changed. And I just want you to have the same thing that took place in my life. It's really something. Ooh. Can't wait for you to do this. And you can just ad lib and get involved with this. But work on this. And make it short, to the point, and 2 or 3 minute long, something like that. Because a lot of times people won't give you a lot of time to talk about anything. So make your prayer list. Talk to somebody about Jesus this next week. Study a little four law book to get where you could just almost memorize. If you couldn't memorize it, that would be good, but you can just zip through it. And each time you share your test, each time you talk to somebody, you've had a successful witness story. You had a success. You've won because God's word always wins. Isaiah 55. You have questions? Any questions? Anybody would like to talk? Share thoughts. Cal, you have it. Okay. Well, we'll just dismiss. And Father, thank you for this special time. Thank you for the lives that you're going to change that we can't even imagine. We cannot even imagine lives will be changed and how your Holy Spirit's going to do this and how your word's going to change all these people's lives. And you just want us to do it. That's the last thing you told us to do, is to tell everybody how I love them, how I want to be with them, and help us all to have a burden on our hearts to do this for the 208,000 people in Montgomery County that don't attend church. Give us a desire to help. Thank you for how you're going to handle this and how much you love each one of us and what you're going to do. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Y'all, let me just quickly share with you. I grew up in a Christian home. I mean, I thought I had a drug problem when I was a kid. My folks drugged me to church every time the door was open. And so I grew up, my mom and dad were Christians, believers, served at the church. But I had four sisters, and you know what? Every day I'd get into it with one of them. And when you got into it with one, you got into it with all four. And I disobeyed my mom and dad from time to time. I rebelled against their authority. And all you had to do to get me in trouble at school was just to double dog dare me. Because I want everybody to like. Well, I was a 9-year-old boy down here at Montgomery Bell State Park at church camp. And John Lyda was preaching down by the dock, and he was talking about the prodigal son. For those of you that know that story, and I thought, that's me. And I got under conviction for the really, really for the first time in my life that I was a sinner, separated from God. I didn't go forward that night, but the next night we were at home. And I told my mom and dad what was going on in my life. And my dad just simply said, well, son, you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so in the basement, my bedroom was in the basement of our home. And with my dad on my left and my mother on my right, I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I asked him to forgive me of my sin. I turned from my sin and turned to Christ as best a nine-year-old boy could. And then I was baptized. I didn't have anything to do with my salvation, but that's what I wanted to do to make kind of my coming out party. And then, as soon as I prayed that prayer, Jesus came into my heart and into my life. And I can't explain it, but I had peace in my life about who I was. I didn't really care anymore about trying to please anybody except him. And my mom and dad could tell you, I started living a better life at home. And I even treated my four sisters better. But I want to tell you, Jesus has changed my life, and he's still changing me every day. So I'm just so fun. Well, y'all, that took about 2 minutes. Anybody can do this personal testimony stuff. It's your story. And then you can say, has anything like that ever happened to you? Wouldn't you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And then you can lead them in that prayer. Make your prayer list out this week. Pray. When the Holy Spirit says go, go talk to that person on your list and share your story and share that those four spiritual laws. Questions? Comments? Now, Dwight, Billy's needing to know, when are you going to be done? Have we got one more week?
Yeah, one more week.
One more week, Billy. Can you hold off one more week? All right. All right. Y'all give Dwight a hand. Wasn't that good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bring somebody to church with you next Sunday. Let's fill this place up for the Lord's Supper.
Second Sunday, too.
Second Sunday also. Yeah, that's what'll fill it up. You can feed them at the time.